Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Oh, it's Ebro, Laura Rosenberg. French Montana is back in the building. We ain't seen this guy in years.
You heard?
We got amnesia.
Man.
We forgot, man.
Definitely.
A lot of people forgot.
Definitely.
Well, you think that's the theme of your album that just dropped, They Got Amnesia.
Yeah.
Clearly saying they must have forgot.
Yeah,
and when you go through the discography, the resume of French Montana, there's a lot of hits in there.
Heavy on the amnesia.
I think it was I don't know if it was a tweet or something somebody said where they were trying to play you, saying that you had no hits without collaborations. You remember that? And you fired back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every couple years there's a new generation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you gotta rattle the cage and just like, you know, like, hold on. You know what I'm saying? I must have forgot. You know, there's people that started listening to French after Unforgettable. There's people that started listening to French after No Stylist. So, you know, just, you know, for everybody that, you know, just jumped on the boat, you know, had to tilt it over for a little bit.
Now, the pandemic presented you with a number of challenges, obviously.
Of course.
But the biggest one was going into the pandemic. Yeah. I remember you went back to Morocco for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm. And during that time, a lot of things happened with your health. And I think a part of this new album, obviously on the album cover, right?
Yeah.
In the hospital on the album cover. Mm-hmm. Talk about what took place and what clarity you have now.
I don't think I never pressed that reset button, like from the time when I started, from 2002 when we dropped the first Cocaine City DVDs, you know? I've been running. Me and Max B had that run from like 2006, like 2009. Then after that, Chop It Down, Shot Caller hit. It was No Looking Back. Then Pop That Hit, Forget About It. You know, so just like I went on for like a good 15 years of just going ham.
And people who don't realize the level to which you grinded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you take through that a little bit? Like, starting with the DVDs, you really were out there just hanging out wherever you needed to be. You were in people's faces every night. Like,
I mean, yeah, the DVDs were just like, from like volume one, we started.
What year is this?
2002 or 2003. I remember Pee Wee Kirkland, shout out to Pee Wee Kirkland. We was like, man, how we gonna do? Because everybody, there was a time and period where everybody needed a DJ to get in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like back when Papoose had K Slay, and back when, you know, Fab was really with Clue, and you know, a bunch of people was just like, everybody like needed a DJ. So I was like, man, how can I get on? I don't got no DJ. So I was like, all right, let me figure it out. Let's get a DVD. So we got the Cocaine City DVDs. Everybody going through the door. I'm trying to get in through the window. You know what I'm saying? So I started putting myself in the Cocaine City DVDs.
And what were the DVDs for people who didn't live through that era? What was on the Cocaine City DVDs?
Basically, it's like World Star, Academic, and Shade Room. That's what the DVDs was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like
before that was even a thing.
Yeah, that was even a thing. And like the biggest podcast was the
Cocaine.
Yeah.
It had everything. It had gossip. It had battle rap. It had new artists. It had
catching people outside in the street. All that shit.
Yeah. And for us, our niche was it was drugs on music. So basically, we wasn't just, you know, we was getting the biggest drug dealers, whether at the time or somebody that did the time and was able to speak about it. So we was able to let you know, this is the game if you want to get in it, and this is the hip hoppers, you know what I'm saying? So we was giving you both games. So that's why it was called Cocaine City. And when we did that, I dropped like 15 volumes of that.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? They would come every other month, if I recall. Was it every other month?
Nah, every 6 months a year.
Every 6 months.
Yeah, every 6 months a year, we would drop one. You know what I'm saying? So we dropped like 14 volumes. It was us, Smack, and it was Come Up.
And was your music in the DVDs?
Yeah. So we would put the drug deals, we put a couple rappers, and I would put my music.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I remember I was I knew Gabi at the time. And I used to tell Gabi, like, yo, I'm about to be some.
French used to tell everybody. I couldn't go anywhere without seeing French. Yo, my man, yo. Yo, what's good? What's popping? I'm like, I see you, man. I see you.
Everybody, though. Like, I remember Gabby playing my music. Akon walks by the room, and he was like, yo, who that? And that's when I had signed my first shopping deal with Convict. It was like 6 months a year. And I went up to go see Steve Rifkin. Shout to Steve Rifkin. I never told his story. I was like, yo, Steve. He's like, yo, I got a deal for you, $200,000. This and that. I'm still waiting for it. Shout out to Steve and Gabby, you know what I'm saying? Because it all ended up working out at the end of the day. When I got on, we was all working together.
So I think to Rosenberg's original question, what you're saying about they got amnesia is people don't really know that story.
Yeah.
Even though you did a few years, like right at before the pandemic, when your health went left, you did put out a documentary.
Yeah. No, I didn't put out the documentary yet.
Oh, you haven't?
You watched it.
I saw it. Sorry. Yeah. Documentary on the way. Go. Yeah.
And you have all the footage from back then. Yeah. Of course.
And after the Cocaine City DVDs, I bumped into this guy named Max B and Chinx and everybody at the time. And that's when we came out with Coke Wave 1, 2, 3. We went on the whole wave run. And, you know, we started a lot of things that everybody's doing now, from the singing, rapping, to this, to that. Shout out to Max, Free Max B. And after that run, you know, Max B got locked up, and I was, like, the most blackballed artist in New York City at that time. Because, you know, me and Max were just going at everybody. You know what I'm saying? We was beefing with the whole New York City and outside of New York. So when Max got locked up, I just had to go lock in somewhere and just focus and get myself out of that hole, because now I'm in it fighting by myself. And that's when I locked in with Harry Fraud. Locked in with Harry Fraud and just, you know, did that.
88 Coops.
Oh, man. And that music that came out was just, you know, so special out of the Bronx and Brooklyn. We just locking in right there in Brooklyn in this little small room Fraud had. That's when you heard, "Shorty, you want to be a baller?" Just that little sound coming through the concrete, like all right, boom. Then we just cracked him in the head, shot caller. Then right after that, hit him with Pop That. I Ain't Worried About Nothing. Ocho Cinco. It was like to the point, it was just like, okay, like y'all gotta let
it. We gotta play some French classics today.
Shall we?
Amnesia's out, but y'all must have forgot, man. You know, we gotta play that shot caller.
Let's go all the way back.
At the Summer Jam concert.
Yeah, shouts to Harry Fraud. Yeah. So you must always, do you always sort of associate your ascent and everything that happened with Fraud? And because him flipping that Lords of the Underground was different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all the joints we did from 88 Coops at the time to Playing in the Wind to, like, we got like classics together, me and Fraud.
And Shot Caller just happened to be the one.
Yeah, Shot Caller just happened to be the one. I remember I went inside the strip club, I think Perfections, something.
Mm-hmm. Perfections was a thing.
I remember the exact day. It was Cass One, it was Camilo, and it was DJ Enough. I walked in, I'm in the VIP. It came on. Dun, dun. It was like, this is it. I'm like, oh, man. All right, let's go. So right after that day, just took off by itself.
Well, and that's why you owe me money.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
That still didn't really sound like you.
Wait, French, I want to take you back real quick still. There was, I remember Fader did this really beautiful piece with you. It was called The Homecoming.
Yeah.
Where you, I believe it's the first time you went back to Morocco since childhood, right?
Yeah, since my father left.
And it was such an intimate piece because they actually took these beautiful photographs of him with your family. Mm-hmm. Can you just tell us about that journey and coming back as French Montana?
Yeah, I mean, when my father and my mother left, you know, I was born in Morocco. I left when I was 13 years old, so I ain't even know English when I left. So when I came here, I came with my father and my mother. They was both trying to find the American dream.
Of course.
And, you know, my father was getting money, and I don't know how he got the visas, but when we got here, he just had a bunch of money that he was investing. One business here, one business there. None of the businesses went right, so he was like, I got to get back to where I live like a king at. So he went back to Morocco, and he told my mother, he was like, yo, let's leave French here. Let him do his thing on his own. We leave him with one eye French. She was like, nah, I'm not leaving my son out here. So he left, and we never heard back from him. You know what I'm saying? So like 15 years went by, and my mother just stayed out here, you know what I'm saying, just sacrificing, you know. So 15 years went by. Then after that, that's when I went back and did the Fader. I flew out there, and I met him again for the first time since he left.
Right.
Yeah. So that was it. That was what that Fader thing was about.
But that was all around the time your health was going south too, right?
Yeah. No. This is before.
No, this is before. This is like 2012. I think it was early.
No. It was after that. It was like 15. Because I just got my papers like 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how I was able to give my mother her papers, and she didn't go back to see her family for 25 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so she recently just got to go reconnect.
Yeah, that's what the documentary was
about. That's what the documentary is about.
It's really part of that whole sacrifice, like you said. I don't think people really understand sometimes, like, how hard it is. People are so quick to just, you know, be like, yes, you know, immigrant this, but not being able to see your family for decades.
Yeah, for my mother, like, you know, she didn't see her brothers, sisters, and nobody for 25 years.
Right.
Like, when she went back, it was just a moment that we got, we was able to capture in this documentary that I'm coming out with next year. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, they're crying, this and that. But for somebody just to sacrifice that much, you know what I'm saying, just for their kids, it goes to show you, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of immigrants out there that's doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I feel like there are a lot of people, you know, whenever people meet artists or people in the industry, they want to get advice and they want to like ask people how do you make it? I really don't know if there's anyone better suited to give advice about how to try to make it in this game than you. Cause like you literally,
you
manifested it.
Yeah.
You worked your ass off.
Yeah.
And took step by step by step.
Definitely. I mean, I went through every motion that an artist can go to, I mean, go through, any motion that a hustler can go through, any motion that, you know, that's there, I went through it. You know what I'm saying? I kept on going. I ain't stopped, you know what I'm saying, through the highs and through the lows. But there was times where it was just like you felt hopeless and you still had to push through. You know what I'm saying?
Was there one relationship in particular that really helped connect the dots for you, where you, once you made that relationship, other things started to fall into place? Whether it be business or artist, whoever, just someone in your life?
Well, God, that was the only relationship that I needed to be in. You know what I'm saying? I feel like all relationships change. All relationships, you know, sometimes beneficial for them, you know, beneficial for you. It's like, I feel like, you know, once you get in a relationship with God, you do the right thing.
But did you always have that, or did that come later?
Man, when you come from Africa to the South Bronx, sometimes you lose track when you're trying to make it to where you got to get. I feel like anybody that's on the same, because you got to think about it, man. It's like, I tell everybody this. It's like, you better off making it to the NBA than making it in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? NBA, what they got, 28 teams, about 15 players on every team. It's like, damn near.
Odds are better.
And they rotate all the time.
Yeah, so that's
And you're going to make some real, potentially make some real money fast.
And that's in the
even if you just get there, you'll get some pretty good money.
And that's in the hundreds. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about hip-hop. You can't even name 10 people that's hot every couple months. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the odds is... You know, and anybody could do it if it was easy. So you talking about like trying to make it, you gotta lose yourself to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like the hustle gotta be relentless. You can't take no for an answer. You gotta be up when everybody sleep. Like you lose yourself.
How do you draw that line, French? Because you managed to be in everybody's face and bust your ass, but have great relationships and not annoy people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people hustling annoy the shit out of people.
Yeah.
And they don't know that line of, I'm hustling and I'm always out versus this motherfucker again.
Yeah.
Which is, because you were out every night.
Yeah.
But you definitely managed to be able to have social cues and balance relationships. How did you know how to act more or less? Like,
I just think, you know, when you're from New York, you just got flavor. You're going to know when to talk to people and not to talk to people.
And when delayed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cause
but also, you was outside from young. So you know how to be somewhere, have a good time, and not be annoying. Because if you was annoying in the hood, you're getting smacked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I said, if you a young
or
head,
they're going to tell you you're annoying, we don't want you around.
Well, no, but if you a young head hanging out with people and you outside when they get money and you're annoying, that ain't.
But I also brought value to the table.
Right.
You made sure you always brought something.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a lot of annoying people in the game right now. There's a lot of people that, you know, that's all in between. But the value that they bring to the table is what keep them in that table. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that don't want to put up with a lot of people that they work with. There's people, you know what I mean? That just happened normally with the game. But just coming from the Bronx and coming from New York and hustling outside, like you said, it's just, when people's out there hustling and getting money, you know that you learn that from early. Like, don't talk to him too much. You might get shot.
Who was the first rapper you saw come through the Bronx?
What? The first rapper came through the Bronx?
Like, legendary.
I was in the Bronx when it was, like, Chicago Bulls, like, when Michael Jordan was playing. Like, I remember Big Pun coming to Katona Park, and Big Pun playing as the Punisher. He just had that Benz with the big-ass airplane seat. And I was like, yo, Pun, this shit mad big. He was like, yo, Twin, I gotta be able to move in there. Wow. He played us Capital Punishment, shot the movie, the boxer. And we were just in there. I'm just in there like, yo, this is crazy. How are you even supposed to keep up with this? Like, and, you know, he was in there, and he was outside, you know, moving like this. And he was, like, rapping with it. And I was like, oh, nah, this is crazy. It was right by 193 Katona Park. We used to play basketball at.
And Pun just came through, posted up, and played the album.
Yeah, he always used to come through over there and just post up, play his music, and just, you know what I'm saying, just vibe out. I mean, the Bronx is like, you know, you got Slick Rick right there in Gun Hill. You got, there's stories. Like, that's like the hip-hop museum, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, right.
Literally.
Universal Hip-Hop Museum.
Yeah, shout out to Universal Hip-Hop Museum, exactly.
Yeah, it's like when I came from Africa and God put me right there, and it's like you can't even come outside because everybody raps, so you need it, like I have like 10, like, you know what I'm saying, 10 fucking freestyles ready to go, like on top of your head. You rap, oh, let me hear something, boom. You got to work up the ladder, like, you know what I'm saying? So coming out the Bronx is really, that's the key to my success. You know what I'm saying? Coming from Gladiator School.
But I think people don't, going back to what we was really talking about, people don't know where you start. They think you started Unforgettable. Or you started Ciroc commercials with Diddy.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why the album is, they got amnesia.
Yeah.
But some people didn't even forget. They just didn't even know. They ain't that's been around
true.
Long
that's
enough.
True.
Yeah, no, I just happened to realize that my fans, that's how they get me, you know what I'm saying? That's how they get me to start rocking again. You know what I mean? They'd be like, yo, nah. It's just like going outside the Bronx. Like, yo, my nigga, who you think you is, B? Like, you know what I mean? Like, them boots ain't even in style no more. Yo, my nigga, get rocking. It's just like, you know.
So you feel like your fans on Twitter troll you by saying reckless shit to you just to get you motivated.
Just to get me to drop music and do things. You know, but it's been like that, though, since me and Max B days, since, you know, I always remember it. I even remember when I was a fan too of people, and I'm saying I used to go read up on them. It was just like, yo, that's how they reel you in. That's how they, you know, rattle your case, you know what I mean, to get you in the game.
We got French Montana here this morning. We going down memory lane because I think a lot of people did forget.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. New album, they got Amnesia, but let's get some classic French on right now. You know what I mean? On the album, they got Amnesia. I've been waiting for the track list to drop. I'm only seeing this 5-year-old French record Panicking on the album, leading into the album today dropping. Which one of these 21 records you think, 20 records you think is really going, we should play right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, since we were just talking about Big Pun, you could definitely play that. We flipped it so hard with me, Doja Cat, and Sweetie. Yeah. So
whoa, 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 whoa.
I mean, they just shot a video for it.
I saw the video. I didn't know you flipped it so hard for it. Okay. So hard. All right, let's let New York hear this.
They got Amnesia, French Montana.
So French, obviously we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, when we're talking about your history, the impact that Chinx had on you and how much his passing must have really leveled you.
Yeah.
You know, he had a lot of momentum at that time, and you guys had been building a lot. So we've had a few years now, you know, to sort of get used to his unbelievable loss. So how do you look back on that time and just how his passing impacted you?
Man, Chinx, you know, Chinx was like my motivation at times. You know what I'm saying? He adapted to any atmosphere. He was like, you know, right now Chinx would have been where Lil Baby at and like where a lot of Dirk at, where a lot of people at, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Chinx was just adapt. to any situation. His raps are just getting better, and he sat there, he studied the game. He never complained, like, why am I not getting on so fast? He understood the process. You know what I'm saying? He was learning from my mistakes. He had a great ear for music. I didn't need to be there, hold his hand, and nothing like that. Like, he was just a superstar. You know what I mean? And you know, he learned from Stack Bundle Sue. You know what I mean? So he had it laid out. But it's just that space, man, that space that between, you know, keeping it real and really forming into that superstar, to that stardom, you know what I mean? That little space where a lot of artists, you know, lose their life at.
Where you're not all the way there yet.
Yeah.
But you are a star in Queens. Like, everyone knows you.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's a very tough. Work.
Yeah. So it's like that space where you're trying to keep it real, in that space where, you know what I'm saying, where you don't know you're a superstar yet. I feel like that's the space where a lot of people, like, you know, rest in peace Nipsey, how he was trying, you know what I'm saying, trying to keep it real with people right there. It's just like it happens to a lot of people like that. You know what I'm saying? Like Biggie, when he went back, tried to keep it real with L.A. And it's just like sometimes, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, a lot of lives get lost like that. So that's the best advice I give to any artist. Like, when you hit that peak, like, try not, not, you could keep it real. You can come back and keep it real, but try
know to, how to move different.
Yeah.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
How did you know when it was time to be like, oh, okay, I now move in a different way. I make sure that I'm covered. I go to certain places. At certain, like, you don't.
Shit, when I got shot in my head.
That'll do it. Went off and
do it. That'll do it.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody goes through it. You know what I'm saying? But some people make it out. Some people don't.
And it's just the grace of God that yours happened to be a warning shot.
Like Tupac said it. Life as a rap star ain't nothing without God. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like how 50 got shot 9 times. How certain people just go through those, you know, those moments where it's just like, you got to believe your life is not in your hands. Sometimes you come back for it. Sometimes you don't.
Well, and even a step further, then not only did you get shot, but then you kept living on the edge with the mm-hmm. drugs and the alcohol, oh, yeah, the partying yeah, every course. Night. And then
I ended up in the ICU. So right. New album, I'm like, I went to ICU twice. I ain't going again. Like, you know, so it's just like, it's crazy.
So the first time you're in ICU, okay, is why? Why were you there?
That's when I got shot.
Okay.
First time, you know what I'm saying? And second time, I went there because I never stopped. I never took it like a healing process. And I was popping pills. You know what I'm saying? I was drinking.
Yeah.
Now, were you self-medicating? Like, were you in pain from the being shot, or were you just addicted and got high from the lifestyle?
I mean, from when I got shot, I started drinking heavy and this, and I got skinny. I started popping Percs and Adderalls. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and after that, it was just like, you know, if you're making all these millions, like how Wayne said, if I'm drinking this lean and I'm making all these millions and doing my best verses and doing my best music, why would I stop? Mm. That's just how I looked at it. I looked at life like, you know, like it's time for me to have fun with it. My life is not in my hand. Mm. Let me enjoy it. So when I go, I could be like, I did everything I wanted to do. You know what I mean? So I did that until I ended up in the ICU.
Almost killed yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I ended up in the ICU. That's when I was like, you know what? You know, I gotta close this book out right. You know what I mean? I gotta finish my history right.
And what does that look like now? What's the attitude change? Because you're going from saying, I'm gonna just live my life, and however this happens, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's still gonna be like that. You know what I mean? But it's just like, it was so many like lost opportunities and so many things that I wasn't. Now I'm experiencing every high. Back then, it was just like, you know, I'm running through everything. You know what I mean? Like, on to the next. Now it's like, you know, I'm strategizing better. This album is my best album. You know what I'm saying? So once you hear it, you'll see, like, what my clarity is at, like, things that I'm talking about. And just that I'm exercising my greatness, you know what I'm saying, better. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's like when I hit ICU, people, when they start over, they start from scratch. I started back from experience. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a whole different vibe, a whole different Montana.
So are you sober now completely? You don't smoke? You don't drink? No nothing?
Nah.
Nah, stop. You ain't got a lot of us. You might smoke a little herb, little.
Yeah, I mean, I might get back to it. But right now.
No, don't do it to prove nothing to me.
I might do it to celebrate or something. You know what I mean? I just.
But it's a different, it's not, it's you're moderation. Not perpetually high anymore.
Nah. I was chasing the high more than money. But I was chasing the money too, you know what I'm saying? But now I just.
You associated the high with the money.
Yeah, now it's just laser sharp. You know what I'm saying? Now it's just like there's like somebody said before, like there's a window that's like open for 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to get through that window. And I mean, there's shit pulling you from every side. But that's where that $100 million and $1 billion at. So you got to get to that window. You know what I mean? You can't let nothing distract you. That's where I'm at with it.
You made a lot of money in this game.
Yeah.
You know, from I'm sure publishing, sales, touring,
everything.
Did you make more money outside of music now, or is most of your money from music?
Man, most of my music from everything, from stocks, from this, from that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, since I started, I'm one of them people that I always prepared for a rainy day. Even I barely spend money on myself. Everything is gifts, everything. This Richard Mille is a gift, like everything, you know what I mean? So it's like, I just save my money.
French just gifted me this chain.
Yeah. I mean, it's very nice. Yeah, that was a pay gift. It forward, pay that it forward.
He pays it forward. I thought, he's a great guy.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, you know, I always, just in case any day I just get up and be like, yeah, I don't want to do this no more. You know what I mean? So that's why I know my passion for music is
now, is your ability to identify a hit song is pretty damn good, too.
I think I'm the best A&R in the game.
You talk to Fat
Joe? You and Fat Joe talk?
Yeah.
You and Joe might have to battle.
Joe find a hit out here.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Joe, man.
Y'all came together on that all the way up.
Yeah.
Different kind of smash.
Yeah, shout out to Joe.
So I think maybe y'all should, you know, for the sake of the culture, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be a versus battle, but you guys
I might beat Crack on the versus.
Wow.
I don't know if he got an unforgettable in there.
I don't know, though. He's got that What's Love, though. What's Love
hits.
Nah,
it wasn't Diamond.
Was it Diamond? What about Lean Back?
Time out. So you saw Fat Joe Ja Rule.
Yeah.
What was your opinion of how Fat Joe handled that? Who did you think won?
Man, I think hip hop won that night. But I thought it wasn't it didn't go hand in hand. One was more hip hop. And one was R&B. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't really...
That's
why some people thought Ja Rule won, is because Ja Rule played the big hits, and you know what I'm saying? They're all smashes, and they...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was more partial to Fat Joe because of what you just said. Those records meant more to me.
That's what I'm saying.
People thought Ja Rule won.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Me too. I love them.
But you think toe-to-toe, now do you think verses should go to where it's like, okay, Ja Rule beat Fat Joe... Now Ja Rule should move on and battle someone else? Because I kind of feel like verses could go in that way, where it's almost tournament style.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, so we pick a winner, but it feels like they don't ever want to pick a winner.
No, because they want people to keep coming back, and I think
they know that
some of these artists who we love are quite sensitive and don't want to take an L. Right. Like, I saw Jones last week.
Yeah.
Jones, his approach sounds like he openly kind of admits that they kind of took an L. Like, they're cool with it. They knew the locks won. Like,
you can't lie to the streets.
Right, you can't. Exactly.
I think everybody, but I don't think Dipset took an L neither. I think that, you know, I grew up to their music, like.
What is an L? So what? You took an L one night against one. It doesn't mean you're.
Like when I did it, I was the first one to start the verses with me and Tory Lanez. I remember Tory Lanez was talking crazy, and I was like, yo, bro, like, I'm going to spank you on this verse.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I called up Swiss Beats, and I called up Tim, and I was like, yo, I need y'all to keep the score. So that's how Versus really, you know what I'm saying, like started like that. But they never kept doing it with the score. Mm. So
you wanted the score.
I wanted, of course.
And
it doesn't make no sense.
And if you take a L, like, listen, boxers and UFC fighters, they take L's. And yeah, you get back and fight another.
We did like 20, and mine's like 14-6. Damn. Something like that. So that's what they got to start doing. They got to start keeping the score. Yeah, or I don't think
a lot of people ain't signing up for that. They're signing up for the performance.
Yeah, but that's like the Floyd fight. Like, you can't do that.
Right, right. Not the Floyd Paul. You want a real fight.
Yeah, but it's something new we're still experiencing, I think, with Versus. That's why.
It's still
really
building.
Affected yet. Yeah.
What about...
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now that, as of last night, Kanye and Drake are best friends, yeah. You think they'd ever do that? Like, I could see Drake actually doing it. You think Drake would do it or no?
Nah. I think they just did it.
What do you mean?
They just did it when they both went at it with their albums, I think.
Oh, that was their closest we'll get to a Versus.
See, I don't see... My thing with Kanye doing a Versus is, can a microphone be in front of him and he stay on...
Topic.
We're just doing these songs, or does he go into?
And let me tell y'all about why Polo never saw the vision. And it's like, no, we're just talking about
fashion
music,
and political talk.
Right. Because I could. Do you think anybody, you included, could anybody beat Drake in 20 for 20 songs?
Jay-Z for sure.
You have Hov over everyone.
No, I'm just I'm just saying because. Hov just got more albums and more everything. You know what I'm saying?
It's got a lot.
No, and the other part that people don't factor in always to the verses is how those records drop. The way the record happens contributes to how you visually see it, right? We talk about this all the time. We recap it on the air. Yeah. And when you visually see it, sometimes it happens different than if you just play the songs together. When you play the songs together and you're like, this song played against this song, you're great at hit factor or whatever.
Yeah.
But the way them shits come on, when the DJ drops that shit and there's an audience,
Hov
got so many.
That's why KRS was so fun. Because when KRS came out for each song with his KRS-ness.
I'm just saying that because just the simple fact that a lot of people, like when they watch the Dipset and the Lox, like the Lox was a generation before Dipset. Mm-hmm. Probably a generation and a half before Dipset. So they had more hits to play with. Like they was playing joints from Biggie.
Correct. Album. Yeah. Dipset had one. Yeah. From 2002 on.
Well, and let's just not.
Lox had already been there.
Fact that Dipset wasn't as prepared as the Lox.
No.
Because they don't do as many shows together as a.
Well, the Lox are a group. Dipset's a collective.
No. But also there was more songs there.
Yeah, that's
a longer career means more hits, means more songs. Jay-Z have 24 albums, 23 albums or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Not that many, but he has a lot of albums.
Yeah, like damn near 20.
He's got 12?
No, way more than that.
No. Because his 10th was recent. Wasn't 444 his 10th?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many Jay-Z albums
Jay-Z more than
got.
That.
I'm telling you, French.
Yeah, I don't think it's 20-something.
It's not 20.
No.
Well, you 14, count tapes 15, and, you know, tapes.
And now if you count tapes, there's more. But I'll tell you what, Drake's put out a lot of albums in that time. He put his output levels way higher than Jehovah's.
Jay-Z was putting out an album every year. Remember when him and Nas was going at it?
Yeah, but that
like,
went quick. Bro, time flies, bro. Drake has been putting out albums that long now. Hov has Reasonable Doubt, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, The Dynasty, we'll count that. Blueprint is 6.
Are you counting Best of Both Worlds?
I didn't know. Blueprint 2-7.
Yeah, count that too.
Black Album 8.
Are you counting
Kingdom
Rock
Come
Rock
9? American Gangster 10. Blueprint 3, 11. Watch the Throne will count 12. Mm-hmm. Magna Carta 13. 444, 14. You're right. Plus the R. Kelly albums.
Yeah. What about the Jay-Z Linkin Park?
Yeah.
What about Collision
17.
So that's
17. I did it before. It was like 20 something. Like
when you add everything, the Beyonce EP, it gets
Watch
close.
The Throne?
I didn't watch the Throne. Okay. No, it gets close to 20.
I counted it, it was like 20 something. You know what I'm saying? So it was like 21, 22, somewhere around there.
Drake's got 10?
Yeah.
Plus, does that include the Future album?
Yeah, well, everything, I think. Probably like.
What about the playlist that wasn't actually an album?
Yeah, what about the weird, when Drake puts out a project, but just four songs, the Dark Hours tapes.
Yo, you and Drizzy, now, you and Drake got how many hits together?
Man, we got
y'all got at least a good seven.
Yeah.
Like bona fide smashes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Did you guys collaborate? Did you guys get time to collaborate at all for this album, or the schedules didn't match up?
We did, but I think it's gonna go into deluxe.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta finish it.
Well, exclusive.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah, definitely.
So there is a new Drake French.
Yeah, there's new Drake French. I'm sure we're gonna put it out.
And do you guys have? I'm sure you guys have stuff that you've just never put out before, right?
I mean, we got scratches and stuff like that.
Just little.
Yeah.
Who do you have the most joints sitting in the stash with that have not come out? What about French and Rosé?
Man, I got joints with everybody. Just sitting there.
Is like, there anyone out there that kills you that it never came out and you were like, man, I did a song with so-and-so and the joint just never dropped?
Man, probably would be this joint with Drake that we're supposed to find the time to drop it.
It's just about the right spot.
Yeah, it's about the right time.
Those are good ones, man.
Yeah, those are the best ones.
Yo, let's play some French Drake classics.
You
want to
go some no shopping? Some stay scheming.
What? Now, a lot of these records, like even Pop That, Stay Scheming, these are, I'm told, and verify or not, these are a lot of ideas that you come up with and then you get features on. Like, you're coming up with these hooks. You're coming up with these...
Yeah.
Picking the beats, coming up with the hooks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like behind the scenes, you're doing a lot of producing, I'm told.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, Pop That exclusive, Chinx gave it to me.
What?
Yeah, Chinx was just playing it. I was like, yo, bro, I need this beat. Then I remember I went to Ross' crib and I played it for Ross. I had sent it to Drake. Because I remember when Drake first came here, he was supposed to come to Vacant Lot Studios in Yonkers to come see me and Max and record some music, but he couldn't make it there. So like 6 months flew by. I had to Pop That beat and I sent it to him. He was in Europe. He did the verse and sent it right over. I played it for Ross. I was like, yo, bro, I need your verse on this. Ross went in there and knocked it out. I remember Ross hitting me like, yo, can I have this song?
You were like, nah.
Nah, I'm saying me back in the days, I love Ross. Ross did a lot for me. So I was like, yo, bro, yeah, you can have it. I remember Chinx being in the car. He's like, you must be crazy. Give me my beat back.
You're going to give this shit away.
Like, if you're going to give this to Ross, give me my beat back. I was like, nah, you know what? Let me call him back. Like, yo, bro, I can't do that.
But it went on both albums, I think, was the end.
No, it was just my album.
It just went on yours, okay.
Yeah, it was on my Excuse My French, my first album. So then I remember I wanted to go see Wayne. He had a concert, and I was like, what was his manager name?
Tez.
And I was like, yo, Tez, play this for him when he get out. I remember Tez took like 2 months, and I was just about to drop the song. Tez gave me that call, like, yo, Wayne just did his verse. We sending it over. And I just played it. I heard, like, bitch, stop talking. I was like, oh,
it's
man.
It's so crazy.
One. I sent it to Puff to mix it and ask a production. I remember Puff was like, yeah, it's a cool mix show record. I was like, what?
I'm like, yo.
Send me my record back, fam.
yo, hold on. Have you talked shit to him about that since then?
Hell yeah. I was like, yo, bro, your ears were shocked for that one.
Yo, that's hilarious. Puff doesn't get it wrong that often.
Yeah.
That was more than a mix show record.
Yeah, yeah.
Pop That was one of them.
Started at mix show.
Just now, me, Puff, and The Weeknd got a record. Or his album and 21 Savage and this and that. And I remember Puff gave me the record. As soon as I finished producing and everything, added my verse, this and that, I gave it back to him. I was like, no, this is it. I'm like, you don't play with my ear no more, huh? Yeah. So
Puff got an album coming, you said, he got a record with The Weeknd and 21?
Yeah, I'm on the record.
Yo, Puff, what's going on, man? Where's this music at?
He dropped at the beginning of the year.
All right.
Hey, French is giving us everybody business. They going to be all right with all this. Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want nobody texting me after like, yo.
We're promoting.
Yeah, exactly. He's working right now.
They got Amnesia. French Montana. The album is out now. Go pick it up.
Thanks, French.
No doubt.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.